Hi everyone, I'm Scotty and I'm an alcoholic, or Scotland, which is my Christian name. I just got nervous. I haven't spoken at a meeting in a while. All right, my sobriety date is August 23rd of 2011, so I will have 4 years on Sunday. I gotta say, all right, well, first, like, I have a sponsor, I have sponsees, I work the steps, I go to meetings, I have a higher power, I've experienced a psychic change from doing these things. I used to be a mess, now I'm only sort of a mess. And, you know, 4 years is like, that's like a high school cycle. I haven't been more acutely aware of my alcoholism than I have been this week. I was just traveling. I was in Turkey for 2 weeks with my cousin and another friend, and I didn't go to meetings, and I was really far away from home, and I wasn't in very much contact with people. And, like, I need to go to a lot of meetings, and I need to do a lot of things in order to be at zero. I'm a very, very sick alcoholic. I'm a very sick person without the tools of AA. The tools of AA, that what AA has given me is, like, it gave me a life. And, like, I need to implement those tools into my life in order to be, like, a functioning human being, because, like, left to my own devices, I just want to destroy myself or, like, do really weird things, like, in secret, and, like, it's not good. And it's always in secret. All right, so I'm going to speak in a general way of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And then maybe I'll, like, start to calm down a little bit. I'm a little over-caffeinated. I asked for a half-caff, and they gave me a full. I come from an alcoholic home, but my parents didn't drink. But almost everyone in my family is an alcoholic. My mom's an alcoholic. My dad's an alcoholic. All my siblings are alcoholics, either sober or not. All my cousins are alcoholic. All four of my grandparents are alcoholic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, I'm an alcoholic. I don't know. I know that I am an alcoholic, and I started behaving like an alcoholic very, very young. I've always been an obsessive person, and I've always looked for outside things to change the way that I feel on the inside. And, you know, my family life was very dysfunctional. My parents didn't drink, but they didn't work any kind of program. My mom is mentally ill. She was very verbally abusive to me and emotionally abusive to me, and both of my parents were very negligent. I was left alone a lot. And there are also a lot of secrets in my household. I had secret sisters. I had two of them, and, like, from different mothers, and I found out about them at different times. And, like, incidentally, in sobriety, my dad ran off with one of their mothers again. Like, it's, you know, it was very, my family life was very, it was like As the World Turns, you know, everything was, like, very surreal, and I felt like, I don't know, by age 9 or 10, that I just, like, knew a little bit too much, you know. It was just, like, a lot of pressure, and the other thing was, given the fact that both my parents are alcoholics, my mom also had my eldest sister when she was a teenager, and my dad was a heroin addict. And then they got together and they cleaned their lives up and, they moved to Connecticut. We lived on the Upper East Side of Manhattan and in Connecticut, and, like, no one was supposed to know that, like, my dad had this, like, junkie past and my mom had this kid, and, like, it was very much, the outsides were really important. It was like appearances were very important. I was supposed to look a certain way, I was supposed to behave a certain way, and nobody was supposed to know what was going on. And like I said, I knew a lot of things. It was dark in my household, and like, God forbid I told anyone, and that's just a lot of pressure. And, you know, I needed a drink. And so what happened was, I don't remember my very first drink, but I remember the first time I got really drunk. And, you know, it was the millennium. It was Y2K. And we were at this really fancy party in Connecticut, and I was left with my friend Bunny, and because it was Connecticut, and Bunny was like, "Yo, like, let's get drunk. All the adults are in this party room, and there's all these bottles of vodka everywhere. So like, let's drink some screwdrivers." I'm like, "Of course. Like, put anything in front of me, I'm gonna do it." Like, even in sobriety, like, I just went to Turkey for 2 weeks just because, like, I don't know, my friend was like, "Do you want to go to Turkey?" And I didn't really, you know, I wanted to, like, do something different. So I'm like, "Sure, I'll go to Turkey." I ended up, like, being in this weird situation that I wasn't really prepared for, and I had, like, an okay time. But, like, point is, she asks me if I want a drink. I say yes. I drink. Never once in my life have I ever been able to drink with moderation. The first time I take that drink, I want to drink more because I feel different. There's like something that happens when I put that drink in me. I feel different. I'm no longer like Scotty with all these like weird secrets and all this pressure that knows so much. I'm now like party girl. You know, I remember going into the bathroom, and my mom's friend had this bathroom, and it had this mirror, and it was like a fisheye mirror, and it, you know, so my face was all distorted in the mirror, and I remember just like looking in the mirror and being like, "Yeah, like this is great. Like, I am now gonna be a party girl. Like, now that's what I'm gonna do." And ever since then, that moment, Y2K in Litchfield, Connecticut, I was like, that's what I was gonna do. And any time that I could drink, I did. So I went to a boarding school for high school, for ninth grade. Not for all of it, but for some of it. And and what I'm about to share is like kind of dark, but I have to share it because it is a key part of my story. What happened was, in my first couple of weeks, I was pretty violently sexually assaulted by this boyfriend that I had. So this boy like raped me, and I was 14 years old, and I was like living away from home. And what happened was, I started to get withdrawn from my classes. I stopped participating. I got really depressed. I got like suicidally depressed. I started like doing these like weird obsessive things, like because I couldn't bear to be alone with my thoughts. I started cutting myself. I started like doing weird, like, eating things. I would, like, only eat Crispix. Like, it was, like, very strange. And, like, and I was in an excruciating amount of pain, and eventually somebody, I told somebody who convinced me to tell the school and convinced me to tell my parents. And so I did. And nobody did anything. The boy stayed in school. At that point, it was, like, I accepted the fact that, like, okay, like, this bad thing happens to me. I tell people, I tell adults, and there's no consequences. So, like, what is a 14-year-old girl supposed to do with, like, no tools? Like, at this point, like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. All I know at that moment is that I am, like, alone in this world, and that it is up to me to, like, take care of myself. And unfortunately, that wasn't, you know, the last time something bad happened to me sexually. But it was this turning point where I just, like, didn't fucking care anymore. Like, I developed this rage in me that I just, like, I just carried this rage in me all the time. It was like I could feel it on my skin, and sometimes I still feel it. You know, it's the injustice. And so, like, what happened was, like, I started drinking at people. The first time I smoked pot, like, I took the weed and I smoked it because I was angry. But then I was like, the first time I smoked weed, I was like, oh, this really makes me feel different. So, but this is a solution. I'm going to smoke weed every day for the rest of my life because I love this feeling. I'm not feeling me anymore. And so every opportunity I could to smoke weed, I did. Also, should I mention, when I told these adults, what they did was they put me on medication. So they were like, okay, well, we're not going to kick this kid out, but what we will do, because you're not paying attention in schools, we're going to give you an Adderall prescription, and we're going to give you Klonopin and Xanax because you're so stressed out. So I'm like a 14-year-old kid on Adderall, Klonopin, and Xanax, and I'm like in this boarding school in the middle of nowhere, and like, where are the fucking adults here? But so, like, these drugs gave me a spiritual experience. Like, I was taken out of my body and, like, was brought to somewhere else that wasn't me. And, like, that was great because, like, honestly, like, I don't know if I could have handled it. It's like, when you're an alcoholic, like, I'm a very sensitive person, as I'm sure everyone is here. And it's like, for me, like, my understanding of alcoholism is that it's like a disease of perception. And, like, being a sensitive person, like, maybe things aren't so bad. Like, maybe my parents weren't so fucking bad when I was little, but, like, the way that I see the world is that it's bad and it's harsh and it's scary. And, like, that's why in sobriety, I need to rely on a higher power and I need to, rely on the steps and do all this work just to, like, temper it a little bit. So, anyway, what happened was, I ended up getting kicked out of this school because I, like, smoked weed and, like, broke into a house. And, but I, with some kids, I broke into a cabin in the middle of the woods. And I didn't get caught red-handed, but somebody ratted me out, right? And so, like, the injustice of that, this kid, like, does this horrible thing to me, ruins my life, and, like, I do some, like, you know, Holden Caulfield shit, and, like, I get kicked out. And, like, that's not fair, and, which is, like, it is fair. Like, I broke the rules. Technically, I broke the law. Like, I was trespassing. I broke and entered. Like, I did those things. And, but I was really pissed off. So, came back to New York, and I went to high school here. Meanwhile, my father was a heroin addict, and he developed hepatitis C, so he was really sick. And my mom started drinking again, and I was in the city. They had money. They gave me money. They weren't really around. And, like, that's a perfect storm. Like, give an alcoholic teenager, like, a bunch of cash and, like, no adult supervision and, like, I don't know, like, cab fare. Like, it's not, no curfew, no boundaries. Like, it was a nightmare. And so what's funny about this meeting, this particular meeting, it was suggested that I come to this meeting when I was, like, 17 years old. And that was the first time it was ever suggested that I might have alcoholism. And I was like, fuck no. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not an alcoholic. Like, how could I? Alcoholics are old. Alcoholics are hobos. Like, meanwhile, like, I was a blackout drinker by the time I was 15. When I drink, I don't know. Like, I never drink with moderation. Like, I drink, and I don't know if I'm going to have 2 drinks. I don't know if I'm going to have 50 drinks. But I do know that, like, 90% of the time, I'm going to black out. And I started managing my drinking at, like, around 15 or 16. And that is really exhausting. So, I'm 17. I'm suggested to come to this meeting. I said, absolutely not. I've only been to this meeting once, and it's funny. Like, there's a great fellowship here. I met, like, so many of my friends after this meeting. That was, like, a year and a half ago. So, I have a soft spot for this meeting. But anyway, so I'm in the city and I'm running crazy and I'm doing all these things. And, like, after a while, you know, other drugs came into play. So I'm, like, taking all these pills. I'm smoking weed. I'm drinking all the time. And I'm doing coke and, like, hallucinogens and da-da-da-da-da. And it just keeps escalating. And, like, things start getting bad. And, like, it just, I don't know, it just keeps getting worse, right? Like, it doesn't get better. Like, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And I keep finding myself in situations where I'm saying, God, I'm never going to do that again. God, I'm not going to do coke again. Please help me. Don't do, like, this weird thing again. And, like, then hours later, I find myself drinking and doing drugs again and, like, making the same mistakes and humiliating myself. And, you know, we talk about in the Big Book, like, incomprehensible demoralization. Like, guess what? Like, I did that. I lived it. It was really bad. And, you know, like, I bottomed out, like, a couple of times. And probably the first time when I was, like, I was 19. I came into these rooms, like, I used to visit, right? Like, I'd get really hungover and I'd come and visit. Like, I was, like, 18, I visited. I was 22, I visited. When I was 20, and then I did, like, Cocaine Anonymous for a minute, which was... And then I, like, remember I went to, like, a fellow... I didn't get it, right? I went to Cocaine Anonymous, went to a fellowship, ordered a Stoli and soda with a lime, and they were like, you can't really do that. Like, I don't know, I just didn't want to do blow anymore. But, like, the thing is, like, because that's, you know, I do coke and I stay up too late and then I sleep with the wrong people, and it's embarrassing. Anyway, the drugs got worse. I began to really isolate myself. You know, I was like a mess. I was like a tornado. And, like, I started doing downers. It was, like, always, like, I knew that if I drank, I'd black out and do something weird. So then I'm, like, taking downers. I'm taking more Xanax. I'm da-da-da. You know, it's, like, all a math equation. I'm, like, living in squalor. My apartment is a disaster. Like, it got really bad. And so then, I'm 25 years old. I go to the Bonnaroo Music Festival in Tennessee. And there I fall in love, as we are wont to do under the influence of ecstasy. And and like a week later, I'm living with this guy that I meet in, and I'm like living in Northern California. I tell my friends that like I need to be in like a very calm environment because it's in my nature. I'm actually a very calm, mellow person, and like New York City is not conducive to the way that I am in my soul. And Northern California is because it's beautiful and everyone's smoking weed all the time. So I go there, and needless to say, it didn't work out with this guy. And like, who would have thought? But what happened was I like rented my apartment here out to a friend. I told everyone to fuck off, told my parents that I was gonna marry this person. But in reality, I'm, like, living in this tiny town in wine country, and, like, I'm all alone. I'm living in this house. There's no furniture. I'm in an aerobed, and I'm, like, reading these Nietzsche books that the previous tenant left. So I'm, like, reading this thing, and I'm having this, like, existential crisis, and I'm reading, like, if you look into the abyss looks back into you. And I'm, like, looking into the abyss, and it's, like, I'm seeing myself, and it's so bad. And I got in the car one night. I backed my friend's truck into a parked car. Like, I'm a New Yorker. I'm not used to drinking and driving so much. Not to say I didn't do it, but because I did. But, like, I'm just not, wasn't, like, very well practiced. And I didn't remember because I black out when I drink, right? I do dark, weird stuff, and I black out, and I don't remember anything. That's what happens when I drink. And I woke up and this girl's like, that was so crazy. Remember when you backed my truck into that parked car? And I'm like, no. And we walk into town and I see out of the corner of my eye this gold car like driving by and there's this huge dent in it. And I tried to like tell the, I don't know, I tried to find them. I couldn't find them. I felt really bad. And like that was it. I just knew. What happened is that, like, when I was in California, it stopped working, which was, like, one of the most tragic things in my life. You know, when you have your solution to life and you're in so much pain because all these tragic things have happened and, like, you don't know how to deal and then, like, your solution doesn't work, like, that is really fucking sad. And I just was at a complete loss. You know? Okay, so what happened was, like, I checked myself into rehab, and I don't know what happened. It's truly, it was like, I started taking suggestions. You know, at first I wasn't the easiest patient. I gotta say also, before I went into rehab, I had to be medically detoxed off those medications for over a week, and I had seizures, and I lost the ability to spell, and I lost the ability to tie my shoes, and it was excruciatingly painful, and I'm grateful for the experience. I mean, it was really, really bad, because I don't ever want to go back there. But what happened was I started taking suggestions, and I'm a bratty Upper East Side kid who didn't have really, like, parents, right? So, like, what are you going to do? Tell me what to do? And, like, that is an act of God that, like, somebody says, hey, make your bed in the morning, or, like, show up here, and I'm willing to do it. And I started doing it. I got a sponsor right away, and I started working the steps right away. I lived in a halfway house, and I didn't want to do that, but I did it, and it was great. And I came back to New York, and I got a new sponsor in New York, and I started working the steps, and I started doing service. And my life got better. And, like, it's funny, 4 years ago, you know, or, like, right after I came in, you know, I thought, like, good. Like, I got here before things got really bad. You know, like, thank God I got here before things were really bad. Like, I had nothing and, like, I burned my life to the ground and, like, had really humiliated myself. But, like, I really didn't think that things were that bad. But, like, now that I have, like, I mean, the promises are coming true in my life. Like, I have a great life. I'm a very happy person. And, like, I don't walk around with, like, filled with rage, and I don't, like, need to, I don't know. I feel, like, at peace. And now that I have that, it's, like, it was really fucking bad. Like, my standards have just gotten so much higher. My bottom has progressively gotten lower and lower with each passing day. It just gets lower and lower. Like, it was really, really bad. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm just sitting in a lot of gratitude. You know, I really, really love AA. And like I said, I was just away. I was away from my fellowship. I was away from meetings for 2 weeks, and it was very painful, and I'm so glad, I'm so grateful that we have, like, there's a solution here for my problem. Like, it's right there. It's very simple. It's not easy. It's simple. It's all laid out. It's like, I don't need to figure very much out. I just have to do it and have faith and trust that God is going to take care of me. And one last thing that I'll say about the whole higher power thing is that, like, that made me really uncomfortable. A couple of things made me really uncomfortable when I came in here. The idea of sober, being a sober woman made me feel really weird. Like, being a woman made me feel weird. Like, I just thought it was, like, a weird thing. And, like, sober women made me feel weird. And, like, talking about prayer and meditation, talking about God, like, with other people, I thought that made me feel really uncomfortable. But I gotta say is that, I'm no longer that girl walking around with, like, the weight on my shoulders. It's, like, being able to actively turn those things over, it really takes the pressure off. It, like, just does. It's, like, not up to me. Like, what? Like, what? What a concept. And that is just, I don't know, it's been really, really helpful. Yeah, I'm just going to stop there. I can't wait to hear from you guys. Thank you so much.